Okay, today's daf is Zvachim daf Kuf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We mentioned yesterday five shitos about what was and was not permissible to bring on a bama in Gilgal. So today we're going to continue to analyze the five different shitos about Gilgal, at least for the very first part of the daf. So just to quickly review what those five shitos were, we had Rabbi Meir, who held that that anything that's nidar v'nidav was able to be brought on a bama, that which is not nidar v'nidav cannot be brought on a bama. And he said that a mincha and nazirus are considered nidar v'nidav and they can be brought on a bama. We have the chachamim who agree in principle to Rabbi Meir, to the rule that only things that are nidar and nidav can be brought on a bama, but any karban chova cannot be brought on a bama. A yachid may not bring any karban chova on a bama, except the chachamim disagree in terms of the definition. They think that only ola and shlamim are that ola and shlamim are the only things that were allowed to be brought. Mincha and nazirus are not considered nidav and nidav. Then we have the third shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that anything that the tzibur and yachid were makriv ba'ol moed shebemidbar, they could be makriv ba'ol moed shebegilgal, and that includes karbanos chova. And then we have the chachamim, the shita number four, which we're going to point out today, seems to match the chachamim that disagree with Rav Meir, which is shita number two, that say that anything that the tzibur is makriv ba'ol moed shebemidbar, they're makriv ba'ol moed shebegilgal, but a yachid is only allowed to bring all of the shlamim, which is exactly what the second shita of the chacham said, that a yachid can only bring all of the shlamim. A yachid is never allowed to bring karbanos chova on the bama in Gilgal. And then Rabbi Shimon had the most limited shita. He said even a tzibur was only allowed to be makriv psachim and chovos shekavul and zman. Those chovos that have a zman kavua, that have a set time. So that was the most limited of all of the shitos, but those were the five basic shitos. Yesterday we discussed the first two shitos. We discussed the shita of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, who disagree who agree in principle with Rabbi Meir, but just disagree in terms of the definition of nidav v'nidav. Now we are going to pick up from five lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Mar. So says the Gemara, Amar Mar. V'chachamim omrim, kol sha'atzibur makrivim bo'al mo'ed v'chulei, ma'item ayot rabbanan. Right, we had the sheet of the chachamim, which is, now we're going to sheet number four, that anything that the tzibur is makriv bo'al mo'ed shebemidbar, they're makriv bo'al mo'ed shebegilgal. So what's the reason for the chachamim? So says the Gemara, Amar Kra, ish hayashar be'inov ya'aseh. Ish yashrus hu delikrov chavos lo likrov v'tzibur afilu chavos likrov. He darshens as follows. It says ish hayashar. So we know ish refers to a karban yachid. Hayashar refers to nedarim u'nedavos. So we darshen that an ish, an individual, brings only nedarim u'nedavos, cannot bring karbanos chova, but that is in contrast to a tzibur. That a tzibur, we allow more. A tzibur, we allow afilu chavos. We allow even the chavos to be brought. V'Rabbi Yehuda, and how would Rabbi Yehuda respond? Rabbi Yehuda thinks that a yachid is even allowed to bring karbanos chova on a bama gedola. How's Rabbi Yehuda? Again, Rabbi Yehuda was shita number three. This is, now we're talking about shita. Yesterday we discussed shitos one and two, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Now we're discussing Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will argue on him. So Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a yachid is also allowed to bring chovos on a bama gedola, so Amarlach, he'll tell you, kiksiv hayashar. When the Torah says the word hayashar, abe'enav hu dechsiv, it's not going on the word ish, it's going on the word be'enav. Aval b'bama gedola, filu chavos nami likrov, and be'enav is a reference to bama ketana. But a bama gedola, then even chavos would be, a yachid would be allowed to bring. So a yachid is allowed to bring chavos and a bama gedola, according to Rabbi Yehuda, based on how he determines the word hayashar, which is a reference in Dharma and Davos, how it only goes on bama ketana. But a bama gedola, there's no limitation of only hayashar, of only yasharos, of only nedarim u'nedavos. Ella haksiv ish, I frak the Gemara, but if it's not coming to exclude a bama gedola also, so why does the word ish appear in the pasuk at all? Just say kala yashar be'enav, and since be'enav we know is a bama ketana, we'll know clearly, obviously, that we're excluding an individual because the tzibur is never makriv on a bama ketana. You wouldn't need to tell me that we're talking about a bama ketana, that we're talking about an individual, if we know we're talking about a bama ketana. Obviously, bama ketana, the only person that's in the parsha, the only the only kinds of karbanos in the parsha are karbanos yachid, not karbanos sibur. So what's the ish doing there? Lav lemeimer, is it not there to tell me to ish yashosu delikrov hachavos lelikrov, that an ish that only an individual can bring nedarim and davos, but he cannot. An individual can only bring nedarim and davos, but he cannot bring karbanos chova, meaning a raya against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said that a yachid is allowed to bring karbanos chova on a bama gedola. So isn't this a raya against Rabbi Yehuda? So says Gemara, no. Kiksiv ish lahachsher sazar. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even though the word hayashar is going on the word be'enav, and therefore you would think that the word ish is totally extra, since we know that when we're talking about a bama ketana, it's got to be about a yachid. The word ish is here to teach me a different din. It's here to teach me that a zar is kasher to do avoda on a bama, that you don't need to be a kohen to do avoda on the bama. So, frak the Gemara, zar mi v'zara kakohen es adam amazbeach Hashem. We already know that a zar is allowed to do avoda on a bama from a different pasuk. Pasuk says v'zara kakoin es adam al mizbach Hashem, and Rashi points out the kaman b'pirkin duchsiv v'zara kakoin es adam al mizbach Hashem pesach ol moed. Kohen Pesach Ol Moed Vein Kohen Bebama. We darshan that dafka, we insist on a Kohen. Where? By the Pesach Ol Moed. But by a Bama, there's no insistence that it be a Kohen. Even a Zar, even an Eved, anybody can do the Avoda on a Bama. So why would we need the word Ish to tell me a Zar can be Oved on a Bama? We already know it from Vizarek HaKohen Es Adam Al Mizbach Hashem. So says Gemara, no Ma'u Detema Libay Kiddush Becharos Kimei Ikara. Because I might have thought, if just for that pasuk, that granted, you don't need a kohen, but maybe you need bechoros. Maybe when you don't need a kohen, we revert back to the din that a bechor is the one that does the avoda, and that a zar would not be okay. So kamash melon, that not only do we not need a kohen, but even a zar is going to be kosher to do the avoda. In the Biuri Adaf over here, he quotes from Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau in comments that are published at the end of the Sefer Kiryas Arba, who points out that from our Gemara we can prove against the sheet of the Chuvus Maram Rutenberg. Maram Rutenberg in Shar Sheni Simon Reish Yud Ches writes that even though a Zar is allowed to be Oved on a Bama and a Kohen is not necessary for a Bama, says Maram Rutenberg, a Levi may not serve on a Bama. Even though a Zara, non-Kohen, someone who's a Yisrael, is allowed to be Oved on a Bama, Ram Rutenberg says, a Levi cannot. Where in the world would he get something like that from? So he has a Medrash Shachar Tov in Shmuel. There's a Medrash that says, and it's a Medrash Rabban Parshas Achremos, that says, Vayikach Shmuel Tleh, Shmuel took one fat sheep and he brought it as a korban ola. So the Medrash comments there were three averos that Shmuel was able to violate over here. Number one, huva oro, that even the animal was never skinned. Number two, mechusar zman. Number three, Levi haya. He was a Levi. So, but wait a second, we're not talking about an avoda and the Mizbeach, we're talking about a Bama. So what's the big deal that he was a Levi? Says Meram Rutenberg, you see from here, that a Levi is not allowed to be Oved on a Bama. So Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau says, it seems to be against our Gemara. Why is it against our Gemara? Because when the Gemara said, why wouldn't the Gemara have responded that, we know why I need two psukim to tell me that a Zara is allowed to be on a Bama? Because had I only had the pasuk of a Zara Kakoyan Sadam al Mizbach Hashem, I would only see that you don't need kahuna, but I would never have known to be machshir Levi, and maybe that's what ish is coming to be machshir a Levi. So you see that there's no chiluk between a Levi and a Zar. The Gemara never has a havamina to distinguish between a Levi and a Zar. If it did, we would have used that to figure out these two psukim, and we would have said one of them is coming to tell me that even a Levi is allowed. So the fact that we don't use the pasuk in that way shows that there must not even have been a havamina to be mechalik between a Levi and a Zar. Also, the Gemara's comment that you should need kiddush b'choros k'mei kara. So we had a gemara earlier on Daf Kuftes Vav where the Gemara said that ad shlo hukam ha-mishkan, the bamos were mutaros and avoda was b'b'choros. And the Rambam writes that from the days of Adam Arishon, the avoda was b'b'choros. So and yet we see, even though the Rambam says from the days of Adam Arishon, we find that in the days of Yaakov that the b'choros was allowed to be sold, that you were allowed to sell the rights to do Avodah, even though the Avodah was B'b'choros. So that's what we pointed out, the Divrei David, the Taz in the Sefer, Divrei David on Chumash writes that you see that before the Isser Bamos, there was no Isser for a Zar to be Makriv. If a person was a Tzaddik and a Ratway, it's just Minastam they gave it to B'choros. So even when we say Avodah B'b'choros, didn't really mean the Avodah had to Dafka be B'b'choros. The Briska Rav on Parshas Toldos writes that from the Rambam, you see that who says that Adam Rishon was considered like a Bechor, and that's why he was allowed to do Avodas Karbanos, you see that Bechor is not really a din in Bechor. You see this Yisod, that it's not a din in Petarechem. Normally Bechor is a din in Petarechem. Adam Rishon was not a Petarechem. He didn't come from a mother. He wasn't born of a human mother. So maybe this Bechor, since it's not a Petarechem, it's some other din in Bechor, maybe that's why you're allowed to sell it. Now the Chazon Ish writes from our Gemara, you see that the Hakravas HaKarbanos for Yechidim on a Bama Katana needed Bechorim as well, because the Gemara says that on the Karbanos of a Bama Katana, where it says Ish, the Gemara says you might have thought that you should require Bechor Kimei Kara. So that phrase, Kimei Kara, writes Chazon Ish, shows you that even on Hakravas Karbanos for Yechidim, on Abama Katana required a Bechar, as opposed to many Achronim who say not that way. The Karen Ora and many others write that the din of Avodah B'Becharos was only by Karbanos Tzibur. It was never by Karbanos Yachid. Chazon Ish says, you see from our Gemara not that way, because our Gemara is talking about Karbanos Yachid, and yet it says Kimei Kara, which makes it sound like clearly the Bechoros were required to do the Avodah initially. Meikara. So anyway, so says the Gemara Vayter. Now, next issue. We pointed out before, there are five shitos in terms of what was and was not permitted on Obama in Gilgal. And we pointed out that shita number two and shita number four, which are both called the Chachamim of Reb Meir and the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, seem to be saying exactly the same thing. They both hold the Yachid is only allowed to bring an olav shlamim because he's only allowed to bring that which is nidav and nidav. They seem to be saying the same exact thing. So says Gemara Chachamim, Hainu Tana Kama, aren't they saying the exact same thing? That they both hold that a Yachid is only allowed to bring olav and shlamim, and a tzibur can bring karbanos chova. So in what way are they disagreeing? So I'm Rav Papa, the machlokas is whether they were able to be makrav nesachim in the midbar. The original Rabbanan, the Rabbanan of Rav Meir, held low kavr nesachim in the midbar, and it was dafka, ola, and shlamim without nesachim were able to be brought on a bama in the because in the midbar they were not kavr nesachim either, and therefore by the parshas nesachim, when it says kisavou, it's telling us that you need nesachim in the Mishkan Shiloh, but prior to that there were no Nesachim, and the Rabbanon of Rabbi Yehuda, the latter sheet of the Rabbanon, hold that they were Karav Nesachim in the Midbar as well. So that must be the Machlokas, whether Karav Nesachim in the Midbar or not Karav Nesachim in the Midbar. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, now we've discussed the first four sheetos, now we have to discuss the final sheeta. Sheeta number five, what was and was not allowed by Gilgal, Rabbi Shimon, very limited. Even Tzibur was only allowed to bring Psachim and Chovos Shekavol and Zman, but they were not allowed to bring Param Davar, Sirevel Tzchavim. Those were not Kavol and Zman, and therefore even the Tzibur was not allowed to bring that in Gilgal on a Bama, on a Bama Gedola. So my time is Rabbi Shimon. Where does Rabbi Shimon get his Shita from? So says Mar Dechsiv, Pasuk says, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Pesach ba-Gilgal. It says that the B'nai Yisrael did the Pesach. They brought a carbon Pesach in Gilgal. So Pshita, of course they brought a carbon Pesach in Gilgal. Why wouldn't they have brought a carbon Pesach in Gilgal? What's the Havamina? So Elohaka Mashmalan, the Chavos Ke'en Pesach Hu Dekarav. Halav Ke'en Pesach Lo Karav. It's not coming to tell me a Chiddush about carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach, obviously they brought in Gilgal. The Chiddush is, it's only Pesach-like Karbanos. Those Karbanos that are similar to a Karban Pesach that were brought in Gilgal, those Karbanos that were not similar to a Karban Pesach were not brought in Gilgal. That is where Rabbi Shimon gets his Shita. V'idach, what about everybody else who argues on Rabbi Shimon and thinks even Karbanos that were not similar to a Karban Pesach could be brought in Gilgal? They use that pasuk that tells me that Karban Pesach was brought in Gilgal to teach me the din of Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Bna. Orel mekabel haza'a, that an Orel is able to have haza'a of para aduma, the sprinkling of the ashes of the para aduma, an Orel is allowed to have, meaning an Orel is unable to bring Korban Pesach. So if an Orel is tamei meis, you might think, well, he's not yet ready to have the ashes of the para aduma sprinkled on him, because anyway he's pasul. So no, you can start the procedure of being mitaher him even while he's still an Orel. And that's what we learn from the fact that they brought Korban Pesach in Gilgal. How do we learn that from the fact that they brought Korban Pesach in Gilgal? So a very nice Rashi over here explains it clearly. If you look at Rashi, Arel shenitma b'meis, someone who had became an Arel who happens to be tamei meis, mikabel haza'a, vitar mitumas meis, liga b'kachim, is able to have haza'a done on him in order to become tahar to touch kachim, v'yalef mehacha d'chziv ha'yasva sepesach b'gilgal, temashma shasu'u kilchaso b'mila b'tara. And it's learned from this pasuk because it says that they did the Korban Pesach in Gilgal, and we see from here that they did the Korban Pesach properly. What does it mean properly? They had a mila, they became tahar. Now, how did all this happen? Veruban arelim hayu b'midbar. Most of Klal Yisrael were arelim because dechsev lomalu. Because in the midbar they didn't have a bris mila. Throughout the entire time in the midbar, it was dangerous for them to do a mila. So they all enter Eretz Yisrael, and none of them have a mila. On the 10th day of Nisan, when they actually passed over the Yarden, still couldn't do a mila that day. Mishum chol shador, because they were still too weak from traveling. So when did they do a mila? El bechad srehu demahul. It was on the 11th day of Nisan they did a mila. When's Korban Pesach brought? 3 days later, on the 14th day of Nisan, they're going to bring Korban Pesach. Is that enough time to have both hazaos of the paraduma? Says Rashi, no. Vishtakach the timim meisim shayu behem, and there had to have been people who were tamim meis. Meaning, unless you say, oh, who says anybody was tamim meis? Maybe they're all tar. So it's got to be. Shari Ruban Tamei Mesum, Ha'isha Mesum, Abaseim Kol Abram Shonu B'Midbar. Didn't have Parah Aduma in the Midbar, so they were all Tamei Mesum, because all their fathers died in the Midbar. They must have been Mitame to their parents. V'nitmu Behem. Unbelievable assumption, no? Doesn't the Gemara tells them about Basra? I think it is, right? The Gemara says that how did they all die? They knew they were all going to die. They dug their own graves, they just lied in the graves, and that was it. They threw some dirt on top of them. Did you have to necessarily be mitame to them to throw some dirt over an open hole? You just throw the dirt. You don't have to be ma'ahil over it. Well, we're assuming that they were mitame to their fathers. So what are they? They are arelim on the 11th day of Nisan, and they have to bring Korban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan, and they all have to miss There's no way they would be able. There was no way they would be able to have time to do both hazaos after the mila. Why? The din of hazaos of the paraduma. You need two sprinklings, and they need to be at least 3 days apart from each other. So Revi, Chamishi, Vishishi need to be no hazaos. Normally, we do the hazaos on day shlishi and day shvii, on the third and the seventh day of the Tara process. V'kani lo hizu ad yom echad asar b'nisan hazar rishona. So if hazar rishona was on the first day, it was on the 11th day of Nisan rather, so that would mean you need day 12 of Nisan, 13th, 14th, where no hazar is done. Second hazar is going to be on 15th day of Nisan. So l'achar shemalu sulo mati zman hazar shni ad yom chamisha asar. That's way too late. They need to bring Korban Pesach on the 14th day of Nisan. Elamai, they must have done the Hazaa on the 10th day of Nisan. And then they had 11, 12, and 13 to have the 3 days in between. 14th day of Nisan is Hazaa Shnia. Perfect, but so they had the Hazar Rishon on the 10th day of Nisan. Mila didn't happen until the 11th day of Nisan. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. You see from there that you're allowed to do Hazaa on a person who is an Arel. That's what we learn from the fact that the pasuk tells us that they did the Korban Pesach in Gilgal, not that it's only Karbanos that is similar to a Korban Pesach that a Tzibur is allowed to bring. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Korban Pesach, in the first paragraph of Hilchos Korban Pesach, points out that our Gemara holds that Hakravas HaPesach B'Gilgal was Me'ikar Adin and was not a Hura Ashah. Meaning our Gemara must hold that they were required to bring Korban Pesach in Gilgal, and that's how you can learn dinim of other karbanos and what they were and were not allowed to bring or were and were not supposed to bring from this Korban Pesach. But, and it's clear in the Gemara that the Gemara assumes that, because the Gemara says, Pshita, of course they brought in Gilgal, why wouldn't they? So obviously the Gemara assumes Maker Adin, they were required to bring Korban Pesach in Gilgal.
How they did Korban Pesach Sheni, and whoever was Maul did Pesach Rishon, did the first Pesach.
No, but we're assuming everyone was
Yoshua, wasn't it?
What?
Even Yeshua, I mean.
Yeah, well, that's what he said, Ruban Arelim, because most of them that were born in the last
Right.
40 years
And you can't
were
say,
not.
like, by Chanukah, where everybody was telling me you could have
It was
gotten
only
one.
people between the age of 40 and 60 that had a milah. Everyone up until the age of 40 didn't have a milah, right? It was, and everyone older than 60 was dead. So,
Right.
it was only so the
Anyway.
majority of them were Arelim. Yeah. So the Mishnah Melech points out that you see that our Gemara must be assuming that they had to bring a Korban Pesach in Gilgal, but there is a Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis where the Gemara quotes a Deya that they were not chayiv in Korban Pesach until after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, because the pasuk says Vayuki v'yacha Hashem el Aretz Hakanani v'achiti v'amori v'achivi v'avusi Hashem nishpal avasach l'seis chay Aretz avaschal v'dvash v'avatas avoda azos b'chodesh hazeh, and the Pesach that Bnei Yisrael brought b'Gilgal was before they yashened all those lands, before Yerusha v'Yeshiva, so that must have only been a Horah Shah, and you can't learn any other halachas from that Horah Shah. So obviously our Gemara is assuming against that Shita in the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin. Now the difficulty is, the Olah Shlomo points out, when the Gemara says, V'idach, if you're not going to say that we learn from here which Karbanos they were and we're not allowed to bring, then what are you learning from this Pasuk that they brought a Karban Pesach b'Gilgal? So why didn't the Gemara just say, what do you mean, what do we learn? We learn that even though they didn't have to bring Karban Pesach till Acher Yerusha v'Yeshiva, normally, but this was a Harasha. Can't the Shita that all the four Shitas that disagree with Rabbi Shimon just line up with that Gemara in Kiddushin? Why do they have to work with the assumption that our Gemara has that it was an absolute chiv to bring Korban Pesach in Gilgal? That's the kasha of the Olah Shlomo. Okay, says the Gemara, Vaiter. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Ad Barava. Ein Bein Bama Gadol L'Bama Ketana El Pesach V'Chovos HaKavol En Zman. The only difference between what's brought in Bama Gadol and what's brought in Bama Ketana is Korban Pesach and those Chovos that are Kavol En Zman that have a set time. When you're making this distinction, you must be talking about dafka olas. You must be talking about an ola. So you're saying that the only difference in carbon in the carbon ola world between a bama gadol and bama katana is a pesach and chavos hakavol and zman, as opposed to an olas nedava, which can't be brought in either one. So that must be what you're talking about in the world of Ola. Now the gears on the side over here is di chatas, because if you're talking about korbanos chatas nedava, mi ika, wouldn't even be shaykh to talk about a chatas nedava. If you're saying that chovos hakavol lemzman is a discussion of chatas, so there is no such thing as a chatas nedava. So therefore there would be nothing to talk about. So frankly, more of a lukma b'mincha, b'minchas chova da ika chavitin, why don't we say that we're talking about a minchas chova? Because by mincha you do find a minchas nedava, because there's minchas chavitin, which is a chova hakvulem zman b'kol yom, and you find such a thing as a minchas nedava. So mincha could have been the topic of that statement of ein bein. So kasavar ein mincha b'bama. Now we're working with the assumption that there was no karma mincha brought on a bama ever, and therefore it can't be talking about a karma mincha when it discusses the differences between a bama katana and a bama gadala. Period. Fine. Now we go to the next stage of analyzing the Mishnah. If you recall, this was one big long Mishnah in Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis that went through the six stages of what was allowed to be brought, who did the avoda, where korbanos were brought. We started with before the Mishkan was erected. Then stage two was Mishuhukam Mishkan. Stage three was Ba'u la Gilgal. So now we're discussing Ba'u la Shiloh, which is stage four. And what did the Mishnah say? That when they came to Shiloh, the bamos became aser, and there was no ceiling on the Mishkan. It was a base avanim bilvad milamata, and it was only stone at the bottom, but it was covered with a cloth. It was yirios milamalim. The roof was made out of cloth, and that's what they called menucha. And the kachakachim were eaten inside of the curtains, kachakal ma'asasheni b'kala roa. So that's what we're going to discuss, that segment of the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, first of all, minani mili. How do you know this is true? How do you know what's true? So the first thing, the Mishnah said that the structure was made out of stones at the bottom and yurios on top. So Rabbi Chiyah Rabba, Rabbi Yochanan Kosvech, Rabbi Tiveo Beis Hashem Shiloh, VeKosvech Rabbi Tosh Mishkan Shiloh, Ohel Shaken Ba'adam. So it says on the one hand that it's a bias, on the other hand it says that it's an Ohel. So Ksiva Yimas Paul Yosef B'Shev Rafaim Lo Bachar. So Haketzad. So what is it? Is it an Ohel or is it a bias? So Lo Hayesham Tikra Ela Avonim Milmatan VeYirius Milmalan VeYosem Menucha. So that's where we learn that it must have been made in such a way where the structure was stone at the bottom curtains at top, on top, and that's what we call menucha, kachim, kachim. So then the Mishnah said kachim, kachim, we're dafki eating inside the curtains, and kachim kalim b'chala roe. So minanimili, how do I know that this is true? Amar Roshi Adamar Kra, he sham l'cha pentalo l'secha b'chal makam asher tira, b'chal makam asher tira yatamala avlata. Meaning, what we're asking about is not really kachim kachim. Right now, we're asking about how I know you're allowed to eat kachim kalim b'kala roe. So, number one, we said, how do I know you're allowed? We're going to have several shitos. Number one, how do I know you're allowed to eat kachim kalim b'kala roe? So, first shita is because the pasuk says that you're not allowed to be mala alosecha wherever you could be roe. Oh, you're not allowed to be mala, but it sounds like you could eat b'kol makom shata roe. How do you know that it's referring to eating? Maybe it's coming to tell me you can't be mala, but you're allowed to be zoveach, you're allowed to shecht. So I'm Rabbi Yani, I'm a krav, v'shamtala v'shamtaseh. So that's the riboy in the pasuk, v'shamtala v'shamtaseh, the same place where you're ola, you're allowed to be shochet. You can't be shochet in more places than you can be ma'ala. From the Lashon of the Brisa and from the Rambam, it seems that in Shiloh they didn't use the crochet of Mishkan. They didn't use the boards of the Mishkan because we said that they built the bias, the structure that we said was avanim on the bottom and curtains on top. Sounds like they weren't using the boards of the Mishkan. They just put curtains on top. However, the Yerushalmi sounds like it says otherwise. The Yerushalmi seems like they put into use the krushim of the Mishkan when they were of the Mishkan that they had in the Midbar when they were in Shiloh. Okay, but either way, we're on to the next thing, which again is how do I know that they were allowed to eat kachim kalim b'kala roa? So we had one shita so far. Shita number two, Rabbi Avdimi bar Chassa Amar. Rabbi Avdimi bar Chassa says Amar Kra says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk below se'ena shilo that the pasuk says that on it the was the lament of shilo, says Rashi chipasti v'lo matzasiv b'mikra. He says I don't know where this pasuk is. I looked all over Tanakh. I couldn't find such a pasuk. Aval matzasiv mizracha te'ena shilo. He says I found a similar pasuk, but not exactly this pasuk. So anyway, so this got to go on the list of examples where the Gemara doesn't quote pasukim precisely. A lot of times we have like that where the Gemara will quote a pasuk not exactly the way the pasuk appears, but says the Gemara, and there's a Tosos. Where's that Tosos again? Basra maybe, where the Tosos says that not all the Amoraim were so familiar with every pasuk. They didn't all know the pasukim so well. Very, very difficult to understand what that means. So, I mean, it's easy to understand what it means. Very difficult to understand how that could be. So, says the Gemara, Makam Shekala Roa Osam Misaneach Alav Alachilas Kachim Shalom. It's the place where anyone who sees it, that's where they were groan over the fact that they were no longer able to eat Kachim, because that's where they used to be able to eat the Kachim, Bekala Roa. Shita number three, how do I know it's Bekala Roa? Rabbi Yavahu Amar, Amar Kra, Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ale Ayin. Ayin shelo ratzel lazon v'lehanos midavar sheino shelo tiska v'tochel kumlo eineha, that the same eye of Yosef that didn't want his master's wife, didn't want to gain satisfaction from that which wasn't his, is going to be zocha and be able to kachim kumlo eineha, the full in his full line of sight as far as he can see. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, fourth shita amar v'ratzon shochni sneh. Now the point is that the ayin, the same eye that didn't want to get hana from that which was not his, is going to be zocha to eat amongst the snuin. What does it mean amongst the snuin? So Rashi says, shilo kachav ne'achalin af b'gvule shar shvatim shesanu'uhu. The chiddush is that Shevet Yosef is going to be able to eat the kachim from Mishkan Shilo even in the borders of those shvatim that hated him. The meaning, the rest of the shvatim, even in the borders of the other shvatim, as long as it's b'kala roa, as long as he's able to see from there to the Mishkan. Tana roa sha'amru roa kulo v'lo mafsik bein elvino. When we say that you have to see, that they have to see, it was kala roa, it has to be that they saw everything, and not with something, you know, it's like when, I'm reminded when we used to do Tashlich in Keren B'Yavne, so we'd go out of the Beis Medrash, and they would say, and we'd say, where's the water? They would say, you see those buildings over there? Before those buildings were there, you were able to see water. So, no, so say Tashlich. So that wouldn't be good enough for Roa. The fact that something is impeding in the way, and you would have been able to see if not for the that which is impeding. No, it's got to be that you see it, and not Mafsik Ben Alevino. Amalei Reb Shimon Ben Yaakov Reb Lazar. Asbelach Kagon Ben Eknishta De Ma'on. Just like they used to have in the Beis HaKnesses in Ma'on, where apparently, I'm not sure if that's an example of what you can see or what you couldn't see, whatever it was, but that, the point is that there can't be something impeding in between. Amra Papa Rosha Amru Lo Roa Kulo El Roa Mitzas. What does our school say?
They could see
Bebe Knesset Ma'on. Okay. So is that where they would wave the flags, the big... okay, so they were able to see. So roa, when we say roa, it means roa kulo, not roa miksasi. You need to see everything. By Rav Papa, omid roa yoshevein roa mai. What if you have the following situation? If they were able to, if you're standing, you're able to see. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting, you're not able to see. Then what's the din? So that word mai can mean so many things. What do you mean, what's the din? What are the possibilities? So the Sfasemis points out that there are actually three tzadim to this suffix. Tzad number one is, maybe since you're able to see when you stand, so therefore even when you're sitting, you're able to be ochel, because you can see when you stand. So that location is good, and once that location is good, it doesn't make a difference if you are standing right now or sitting right now, you're allowed to eat in that location. Tzad number two is, maybe since you're not able to see when you sit, so, and the normal derech achila is be yeshiva, normally when people eat, they sit, so therefore maybe even while you're standing, you're not allowed to eat, because you're not allowed to eat, because that location is disqualified, since the normal derech achila, which the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos Perek Dalet, is la'olam k'shiyochal adam yeshiv b'mekomo yat al smol. Person is always supposed to sit when they eat, and therefore even if you happen to be standing up, you're not allowed to eat there. Or maybe, third possibility, maybe when you stand and you can actually see, it's not tully in the makom, it's tully on, can you see? If you can see, you can eat. If you can't see, you can't eat. And therefore, if you're standing and you can see, you can eat. If you're sitting and you can't see, you can't eat. So it would be that simple. So those are the three possibilities. Rishonim right over here, that by Achilles Kachem, it says L'mashcha, that you're supposed to eat Kederuk Shamalachim Ochlim. So you have to eat B Yeshiva V'loma Ba'amida. So therefore, even though there's no Yeshiva Ba'azara, except for the Malchus Beis David, the Kohanim are allowed to eat the Kachem B'Yeshiva, according to several Rishonim. That's the Shita Mekubetzas on Daf Tezayin, Tosus Maseches Yuma, that they were Kohanim had to eat B'Yeshiva, because L'mashka, they had to eat the way Malachim would eat. However, other Rishonim hold that no, there's no requirement whatsoever to eat Kachem B'Yeshiva. In the Cheschinuch, Mitzvah Reishon David writes that according to the Rambam in the Chinuch, that even B'Shas Achila, no one was allowed to sit in the Azara. Even B'Shas Achila, only the Malchi Beis David were allowed to sit in the Azara. So says Rav Yosef Engel in the Beis HaOtzer, called Kuf Samach Aleph, so he says it could be that the suffix of Rav Papa is as follows. This was exactly Rav Papa's suffix. Do we say Achilas Kachem requires yeshiva? Meaning this Machlokus Rishonim, does it require yeshiva or not? If it does require yeshiva, so it could be that you need to see all of Shiloh when you're sitting. Or maybe you should say, maybe it doesn't require yeshiva, and therefore it's good enough to see Shiloh Kishu Omeid, to see Shiloh when you're standing up. Maybe that's exactly the suffix of Rav Papa. Also, he says, you could say that Bevadai Achilas Kachem Kachem require yeshiva. Rav Papa's suffix was whether Achilas Kachem Kalim require yeshiva, because maybe the din of Lamashcha is only said by Achilas Kohanim of Kachem Kachem, maybe it's not said by Achilas Bailim of Kachem Kalim. So it could also be that that's the suffix, meaning the suffix might even be assuming, like those Shitos and Rishonim, Shitim Betzos and Tosos, that you need yeshiva by Kachem Kachem, but Kachem Kalim maybe is the suffix of a papa. Does that also have a din of the mashka of Dafka needing yeshiva? That might be what's behind Rav Papa's suffix. So anyway, the Gemara asks, the Shaila doesn't answer it. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah then raises Shaila. Omer al gabei anachel v'roa b'toch anachel ve'ino roa mai. What if you're standing by a brook and you're able to see, but if you were b'toch anachel, if you were in the brook, you wouldn't be able to see. So then what's the din? So the Gemara says, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. It's interesting. Poskim used this Gemara to try to figure out a variety of halachos that are actually nogeya b'zman hazeh. The Chayyadim and Klal Nun Tes and the Chuvas Rav Pa'alim try to use this sugya to figure out halachos of birchas hanen and of shinui makom, when you require a new bracha, when you don't require a new bracha, seeing the original place, when you stand, when you sit, they try to use this sugya, these sveikos, to discuss the halachos of birchas hanen. The Tshuvas Rav Palim is done, if you can compare this sugya also to the sugya of Kriyas HaMegillah in Yonad Yom, by Ayaros HaSmuchos and Niros to a city that's Mukav Chom and Mos Yeshua Ben Nun. So what if you can see the city standing but not sitting? So he says maybe this sugya sheds light on which on where you can lay in the Megillah on the 15th, where you lay in the Megillah on the 14th. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Nun Dalid says Nafkamina with these fekos is Lagabe the Halacha in Brachas Daf Nun Dalid Lo Yekel Adam Es Rosho Keneged Shara Mizrach, which is Neged the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So again, what's called Neged Shara Mizrach? What if you could see the Shara Mizrach when you stand, standing, not sitting, etc., when you're by the brook, but not when you're in the brook. So these sveikos are nogea to things that are lemaisa nowadays as well. It's just that they were originally raised in a context that's not lemaisa, bizman hazeh, but poskim use this gemara to discuss issues that actually are lemaisa bizman hazeh. Okay, weiter. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rebbe b'shlosha mekama Amar Rebbe Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rebbe b'shlosha mekama shorsa shchina al Yisrael, that in three places the Klal Yisrael had the shchina shara on them: b'shilo, Nova Givon, ube Solamim, in Mishkan Shilo, Mishkan Nova Givon, and ultimately by the Beis Hamikdash. Ubekulin lo shorsa ela b'chelik Binyamin, and in all of those places it was the shchina was only in the chelik of Binyamin. Shnemar chofif alav kol yom kol chafifos lo yehei ela b'chelko shel Binyamin, that's the din, that all the chafifos, all the hovering of the shechina, is only in the chelik of Binyamin. The Karen Ora says, you see from here that the chiyuv of Aliyah leRegel was even during the days of Nova Givon, since the Gemara says that there was it was the makom of Hashras HaShechina, so it would therefore be included in the pasuk in the Torah that you're supposed to be able to regel to hamakom asher yivchar Hashem. So that's the makom Hashras HaShechina. That's based on the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira in the very first halacha of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Mitzvas asei la'asos beis Hashem muchan lios makrivim bar karbanos v'chogigenei lav shalosh pa'am bashana, that you have a mitzvah to make a beis Hashem where you makriv the karbanos, and that's where you go three times a year. And he quotes the pasuk basuli migdash, and these psukim of aliyah l'regel are wherever there is shechina. So the chora that the Karen Ora says b'nova givon, they also had a din of aliyah l'regel. However, there is a group of achronim, the Adaras and some others, that quote from a Gemara in Maseches Makos, which strongly implies that there was no chiyuv of aliyah l'regel nova givon. Why? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara Maseches Makos says, "Omer Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, Mai dechsiv Shir Hamalos leDavid Samachti ba'omrim liBeis Hashem Nelech." That David HaMelech sings a Shir Hamalos that he was so overjoyed when he said Beis Hashem Nelech. Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shamati B'nei Adam Shehu Omrim, Masa Yom Zaken Zev, V'yavu Shlomo B'no, V'yivne Beis HaBechira, V'na'ala L'Regel. The David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I heard people saying, when is this old man going to die already? David was never really that old, but he said, when is this old man going to die already so that Shlomo come along, build the Beis HaMikdash, and then we can be Ola L'Regel again? Sounds like prior to that, there was no Aliyah L'Regel. And David HaMelech says, and you know what? I heard that, the Samachti. And I was happy about that, because I was happy that my son is going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. But you see that before they built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, there was no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So that's what some of the Achronim point out. You see from the Gemara against what the Karen Ora suggests based on this Gemara. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Ki Azal Abaye, Amar Kamed Rav Yosef. So Abaye said this teaching over in front of Rav Yosef, that there were these three places, and it was all in the Shevet of Binyamin, and that's where the Shechina was. So Amar, so Rav Yosef said, Chad bra havle lekailul v'lo miskin, ay nebuch, Kailul, my buddy Kailul only had one son, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. So says Rashi, you see, Kailul was the name of Abaye's father, because Abaye said this to Rav Yosef, and this was Rav Yosef criticizing Abaye for what he was saying. I don't know if we have anywhere else in Shas. We got this far, I don't remember seeing this anywhere earlier, that Kailul was the name of Abaye's father. Nir Be'enai says Rashi, Ki Aviv Shal Abaye Kailul Shemo. We know that Abaye was called Nachmeni because he was named after, he was raised by Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, and he was named after Rabbi Bar Nachmeni's father. So either his real name was Nachmeni, Rashi Gittin Lamadal, that I think it is, that he was that either his real name was Nachmeni and they called him Abaye because he reminded him of his father, so it was Abaye Milashon Avi, or his name was Abaye because he didn't want to say the word Nachmeni. Call him Nachmeni because that was his father's name. He was uncomfortable saying his father's name, but who is his real father? That's who he was raised by. He was raised by Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. Who is his real father? His real father's name was Kailil. So he says here, Kailil only had one child, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. V'aksiv v'yitash mishkan shilo, uksiv v'yimas v'al Yosef v'b'shevet Ephraim lo bachar. So how do you say that everything is in Binyamin? It says b'shevet Ephraim. Some Ravada, my kashalei. What's the difficulty? Dilma shchina b'chelik Binyamin Sanhedrin gadol b'chelik Yosef. Maybe the shchina was in chelik Binyamin and the Sanhedrin gadol. That was in the part where Yosef was. And don't think that that's outlandish, because we find such a thing. We find that by the Beis Hamikdash. The Shechina was in Chelik Binyamin, Sanhedrin, Chelik Yehuda. The Shechina was in Chelik Binyamin, Sanhedrin, Chelik Yehuda. Amalei Hachi Ashrei. He said, no, you can't compare. Hasam Mikra v'Nachlos Kabeyadadi Hacham Yimikravan. No, Yehuda and Binyamin right next to each other. Yosef and Binyamin were not. So you can't say it by Yosef and Binyamin. Says Gemara, yes, they were. Hachanami Mikravan. Kedam Rabbi Chaim Brechan. You know, it's why so Yosef is Chelik Yehuda v'Nachnas is Chelik Binyamin. How did it work out that part of the Beis Hamikdash was in Chelik of Binyamin, part of Chelik of Yehuda? There was one little strip of land that came out from the Chelik of Yehuda and encroached on the area of Chelik Shal Binyamin. Uboha Yim Mizbeach Banoi, and that's where the Mizbeach was built. Binyamin Atzadik Mitzdar Levala, and Binyamin Atzadik always wanted to be able to take that land into their own tribal holding. So Achinami, so you can say the same thing over here. Ritzoi, so Yosef Mechalik Shal Yosef Mechalik Shal Binyamin, that a strip of land went out from the Chelik of Yosef to the Chelik of Binyamin. Vahinu Dechsev Taina Shiloh, and that's the Taina Shiloh, that's the lament of Shiloh. So Kitanai, says the Gemara, this is in fact Machlokas Tanaim, whether Shar Sashchina in Nova Givon also or not. So Kitanai, Chofif Alav, Zemikdash Rishon. Kol Hayom, Zemikdash Sheni. Again, Chofif Alav is a pasuk that tells us that there was Shechina. So where was the Shechina? So Mikdash Rishon, Kol Hayom, Mikdash Sheni. Bank Seif Av Shachain, Eli Yimosa Mashiach. Rebbe Omer, Chofif Chofif Alav, Ze Olam Hazeh. Rebbe says, no, Chofif Alav is not just Mikdash Rishon, it's Olam Hazeh. It's all of the places in Olam Hazeh where we had a Mikdash, including Novi Givon, including Shiloh, including the places where we had the Mishkan. Kol Yom Eli Mosam Shiach, Uben Ksef Av Shachain, Ze Olam Haba. That's what it's referring to, the Mekomos of the Shechina. But you see that the Shechina was also in Shiloh and Novi Givon. So that's Machlokas Tanaim. Abaye's statement that Rav Yosef criticized him for, that's a Machlokas Tanaim. Tan Rabbanan, Yimei Ol Moed Shebemidbar, how long was the Ol Moed in the Midbar? Was the Mishkan in the Midbar for 39 years? Yimei Ol Moed Shebemidbar Gilgal Arba Esrei. It was 14 years in Gilgal. Zayin Shekafshu v'Zayin Shechalku. 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of Chiluk. Yimei Ol Moed Shebenova Givon Chamishu Meshava. In Nova Givon, 57 years. Nishtaylu L'Shilo Gimel Meitz V'Shivim Chasra Achas, which left 369 years where the Mishkan was in Shiloh. Yimei Ol Moed Shebemidbar Arba Chasra Achas Minal. Right from the Mishnah, you don't really get the sense of how disparate the amounts of time. It just says, okay, step two, step three, step four. The steps were very, very different in terms of the length of time. Shiloh was way, way longer than it was in Nova Givon, obviously. So you may olam of Midbar Bam Chasrachas Minal. And how do I know 39 years in the Midbar? Tomer Marshon Rishon Osa Moshe Osa Mishkan. The first year Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. Shnia Hukam Mishkan Vishalach Moshe Meraglim. The second year he erected the Mishkan and he sent Meraglim. So they were in the Midbar 40 years. First year they didn't have a Mishkan. The rest of the years they did. So 39 years in the Midbar. Shebegilgal Abba Arba Esrei. How do I know that in Gilgal it was for 14 years? Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechalku Minalan. How do I know that it was for those 7 plus 7? The Kamar Kalev, because Kalev said Ben Arbaim Shana Nochi Bishloach Moshe V'Hashem Alsi Mikdash Mikdash Barnei L'Ragel Asaretz V'Shivol So Davar Kasherim Levavi. Kalev was in both groups of spies. In the first spy mission, he says I was 40 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu sent me, and that was in the second year the Jews were in the Midbar. Uksiv Ata Inei Nochi Ayom, and then Kalev says today I am Ben Chamesh Ushmonim Shana, 85 years old. So that is Kiavril Yarden Bar Kama Havi Bar Shivin V'Timni. How old was he when they passed the Yarden? Well, if he was 40 at the time of the Meraglim, which was after 2 years in the Midbar, he was 78 when they came over the Yarden. And now he's saying today I'm 85. V'Kamar Ben Chamesh Ushmonim Shana Hare Shava Shekivshu. So that's after the 7 years of Kibush. V'Sheva Shechilko Minalan. How do I know the Sheva Shechilko? The Mishkan was also there. Either because it makes sense, as Rashi says, Svar B'Almahi, that if it was there during the 7 years of Kibush, makes sense that it was there during the 7 years of Chiluk as well, so it makes sense that it was in Gilgal throughout that entire time. From the fact that we don't find it in the 14 years afterwards, so that shows you that it must have been in that one place for the entire 14 years. Throughout the 14 years, it remained in Gilgal. Okay, we'll pick up from Tudat Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.